Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Last week, if you remember, we looked at verses 1 to 21 of chapter 14, the famous or the familiar passage on the feeding of the thousands in the wilderness. And we saw from that passage that as the disciples of Christ, the Lord will sometimes put us in situations that reveal our weakness and our inability. And it's in those times that we then need to bring our weakness to the Lord, knowing that He will provide enabling grace. And tonight, we're going to be looking at verses 22 to 33, another familiar passage, this time when Jesus walks on the water. So we'll be looking at Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. And let's hear now God's Word and listen to it carefully. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." And here we'll end the reading of God's Word this evening. May He bless it to us. You may remember in the fall of 1991, off the coast of the northeastern United States and Canada, there was what was later called the perfect storm. The perfect storm was essentially a combination of two very powerful weather fronts that met up with a hurricane, of all things. And together then caused great damage and havoc along the coastline in that particular part of the country. But perhaps where its force was seen most greatly was out on the water, where at some places the waves were counted as being upwards of 100 feet high. Well, if you remember, one sword fishing boat was out on the storm at the time, called the Andrea Gale. Andrea Gale was desperate to return home after a nice catch, and yet instead of waiting to skip the storm or to avoid the storm, instead took the risk and decided to go right through the storm. And if you remember the story, it didn't take long for them to realize that that was a major mistake. Because as they realized then, as they were trying to go through the storm, trying desperately to stay afloat and not go down, the waves won the day, and the boat capsized, and sadly all six members of the crew on board perished with it. Now, without making light of that sad story, in our passage this evening, we're reminded that as Christians, we often face and will face similar storms in this life. We may not be out on the Atlantic in a fishing vessel, but as we follow Christ, doing what Christ calls us to do, we will go through times, difficult trials that will test our faith. And when we're in those storms, it often feels like, does it not, the waves are winning and we're going down and we are struggling. And so there's the big question is, how can we stay afloat? How can we trust the Lord? How can we be joyful in the midst of this difficult time? And it's here in our passage where we find the key to that struggle. Because as we go through storms in life, the Scriptures point us that the way to stay afloat is by keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. And it's by keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. And so that'll be the main point that we'll see tonight as we look at these verses. As you go through turbulent storms in this life, stay afloat by keeping your eyes on Jesus. By keeping your eyes on Jesus. And boys and girls, if you're going to draw a picture tonight, I thought you could draw a picture of the disciples in their boat, and they're rowing, and the waves are big. But then you could also draw Peter walking on the water, walking on top of the waves. Now, if you paid attention to the story, Jesus is also walking on the water, so we'll leave him out of the picture. If you want to draw a cross, you can do that. We're not going to draw a picture of Jesus. But you can draw a picture of the disciples in the storm and Peter walking on the water because Jesus enabled him to do that. Well, as you can see in our outline, our first point then tonight is that you will go through turbulent storms in this life that will test your faith. It's a certainty. You will go through turbulent storms that will test your faith. This past summer, I did a little kayaking on Lake Michigan, right along the coast where there were some scenic caves that you could see. This was something I had never done before in my life, and so thought I would do it. And during the first half of the trip, the wind was behind us, and so the rowing was nice and easy, and I was even able to stop and take some pictures. It was a fun trip, but eventually we got to the halfway point, and the tour guide said, it's time to turn around. And so all of a sudden, this nice, enjoyable trip quickly became something not enjoyable, to say the least. Because as we were then making our way back with the wind in our faces, I found myself rowing and rowing and rowing, and yet as I looked at the coast right next to me, it was the same cave, I felt like, that it was not moving as I kept going. And to add to that, we were just at the halfway point. And so I knew that as hard as this was, we were far from where we landed. And there was a long way to go. With that then, the wind was causing the waves to rock the kayak. And if you've been in a kayak, it doesn't take much for you to be side to side and potentially going under. And so I'm finding myself trying to control the kayak. Mind you, I've never been kayaking before. And then with that, even though we're out there with a group of people and a tour guide, being the inexperienced guy in the group, I quickly found myself far from the only guy on the lake who knew anything about kayaking. And I think as we look at our picture, or as we look at our passage, that was the situation, essentially, that the disciples were in. And so let's look at this. As we see at the beginning verses, after Jesus enabled the disciples to feed the thousands in the wilderness, he made them immediately get into the boat and by themselves head back over the Sea of Galilee. So here we are again going back and forth. He did this, as we're told in verses 22 to 23, so that he could then send the crowds away, go up onto a nearby mountain, and spend time in private prayer. But as we see in verse 24, while Jesus is up on the mountain praying, where are the disciples? They're out on the sea, in the middle of the sea, being tossed and beaten by the tempestuous waves. And I think as we look at the situation, as Matthew describes it for us here, I think it's safe to say that they faced the same struggles while they were on the sea that I faced when I was kayaking. And there are four of them in particular. First, they too were working hard and yet barely making any headway. We have to remember, their boat did not have a motor. They relied upon sails and rowing oars. And Matthew says here in verse 24, the wind was contrary. The waves were tossing them around. They had been out there for hours, we see. And so they were working and working, and yet progress was not coming. Second, we're also told in verse 24 that they were in the middle of the sea, which means that they too were far away from land. They had a long journey still ahead of them before they would get to the other side. Third, considering the wind and the waves, their boat would have also been rocking, and they would have been working to keep it afloat, keep it upright and under control, And then fourth, they may have also felt abandoned by the only one who could help them. All this time, they had been with Jesus, and Jesus now says, no, you guys go, I'm going to stay behind. So the one guy who could help them in this situation is the one guy who had left them. And it wasn't until hours later, Matthew says, somewhere during the fourth watch of the night, that's somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. when Jesus finally came to them. Hours and hours and hours, they're out there rowing and rowing and yet getting nowhere. It's not just the disciples who feel like that in the storms, is it? As we think of our own lives, as we think of the storms and the trials that we go through, we often feel just like that at times, don't we? Think about this with me. For one, when we go through difficulty, does it not often feel like we're not making any spiritual progress? You find this in times of depression. Even just being faithful in the small things can be such a struggle. And it can be discouraging and frustrating. Second, when we face physical challenges or even spiritual struggles, the road ahead is often a long road, is it not? Health problems can last a long time. Our struggle with sin will last until we are called to heaven. And so while the storm is hard enough to endure, it's often intensified by the length of its duration. Third, trials often tempt us to struggle for control. Now, it may be the Lord has brought the trial into our lives because we are idolizing control and He's trying to take that from us. Or it could just be in the storms, it feels like our lives are simply spinning out of control. And then fourth, does it not often feel, while it's not true, that the Lord has abandoned us? We know the Lord has put us in the trial. We know He's fully able to help us get through the trial. And yet, given our weakness, it often seems like, Lord, where are you? Where are you? And we've experienced this, haven't we? In God's providence, we've all gone through these types of trials. We've experienced these types of struggles and emotions where our faith is tested. It's sorely tested. It's beat up. And in those times, it can be so easy for us to think, the waves are winning the day, and this ship is going down quickly. And yet it's in those times that we need to remind ourselves, Jesus is mightier than these storms. And that brings us now to our second point. Jesus is mightier than the storms that we will go through in this life. And so if you look back at the passage, we see that, okay, the disciples were buffeted by the wind and the waves for a while on their own, but eventually Jesus did come to their aid. So look at verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, again, that's 3 to 6 a.m., Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now, the disciples obviously didn't expect Jesus to do this, because if they see Him approaching, instead of thinking, oh, this would be our Lord, who, mind you, had just miraculously multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish, you would expect that perhaps He could walk on the water. No, instead they see His figure and they think it's a ghost. And Matthew says they're terrified. They're deeply troubled by this. And so Jesus then, in order to calm their frightened hearts, says these beautiful words of comfort to them in verse 27. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. The New King James here says, it is I. But literally in the Greek, it is I am. Now, does that sound familiar at all? Is there anyone else in the Bible who refers to himself as I am? Exodus 3:14. I've given you this on the back of your outline. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So when Jesus identified Himself to the disciples on the sea as I am, He was identifying Himself as the very Lord God of heaven and earth. Because you see, just like we saw last week when He put the disciples in this situation, commanding them to feed the thousands, yet knowing they could not do it, we see the exact same situation here. Jesus puts them into this situation so that He can come to them in their weakness and reveal His great power and reveal His true nature and his identity. Namely, that he is the Almighty Son of God. And this time, praise the Lord, the disciples actually got the point. We see then down in verse 33, after Jesus enabled Peter to walk on the water and then calmed the sea, those who were in the boat came and they worshiped Jesus and they said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And so we see that the waves may toss the disciples around. The waves may keep the disciples from making any progress, but Jesus can walk right on top of the waves without any problem at all. It wasn't a crystal clear, smooth sea as he went out there. It was still windy and turbulent, and the Lord walks right on top of them. As Job once said of the Lord in Job 9, verse 8, "He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea." And so it is with us in our storms. When we feel like the floods are surrounding us and the waves are crashing over us, we need to remember, as we just sang from Psalm 93, verse 4, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea." So yes, the storms in our life may be great. They may be turbulent. But Jesus, the Almighty Son of God, is far greater. Commentator J.C. Ryle says, "He, that's Jesus, may allow his people to be tried for a season and to be tossed to and fro by storms of trouble. He may be later than they wish in coming to their aid and not draw near till the fourth watch of the night. But never let them forget that winds and waves and storms are all Christ's servants. They cannot move without Christ's permission." So even though we will go through turbulent storms in this life, Jesus, the Son of God, is mightier than those storms. And since that is the case, then Jesus is the one who enables us to stay afloat in these storms of life. And this brings us now to our third point. Jesus, the Mighty One, is the one who enables us to stay afloat. And so let's look then at verses 27 and 29. 27 to 29. Again, we see Jesus coming to them on the sea. He says, excuse me, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Last week we saw Jesus command the disciples to do something they were utterly incapable of doing on their own. And that was to feed the thousands from their five loaves and their two fish. And yet what did we see last week? By his gracious and almighty power, Jesus enabled them to do exactly what he called them to do, to feed every single person in attendance. And here in verse 29, we see Jesus giving a very similar command as he tells Peter to come walk on the water with him. Obviously, Peter could not do this on his own. It was an impossible command. But what happened? Just like we saw last week, by Jesus' gracious power, he's enabled to do it. And so too, when we go through storms in this life, the Lord calls us to trust him completely. Right? The Lord calls us to rest in his goodness, to cling to his faithfulness, no matter what may appear to be the case. No matter what may seem to be the end of the trial, even if our very lives are in danger. And often, though, when we face these trials, trusting him is being seems like we're being told to walk on the water, doesn't it? We're terrified. We know we can't do this on our own. It's an impossible command, Lord. But you see, the beautiful truth of the gospel, as we see displayed in this passage tonight, is that it's not ultimately up to us to stay afloat in these storms. Peter didn't have to somehow find the strength that would enable him to go out and walk on the water. He could never do such a thing. We could never do such a thing in our own storms. It's Jesus who fully and alone gave him the ability to do this. And so as we think of our storms, it's Jesus who enables us to stay afloat, to walk on the water, as it were. And so no matter how difficult a particular trial may appear to be, Jesus is the one who enables us to walk, or to keep us rather, from utter despair and from hopelessness. Jesus is the one who enables us to walk in perseverance, in faithfulness, and endurance. And He's the one who supplies our faith so that we can trust in Him. When the Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, he was sitting in prison. Here he was, trying to serve the Lord by going throughout the land, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And yet, since the very beginning, Paul had suffered beatings and stonings, shipwrecks, all kinds of various dangerous situations, hunger, nakedness, and now imprisonment. And so Paul knew what it meant to share in the sufferings of Christ, perhaps more so than we ever will. And yet Paul was content. The storms were raging in Paul's life, and yet Paul was not sinking. Why? How could he do this? How was he able to do this? Well, it's because, as we see in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Literally in the Greek, it is, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. It's by virtue of his union with the Lord Jesus that enables him to do all things, to suffer hardships, and yet be content. And do you realize, if you are united to Jesus Christ this evening, the same thing is true for you. By virtue of you being connected to the Lord in a saving relationship, He is the one who daily supplies you with enabling grace. Now, that doesn't mean that we will always respond to the trials in the right way, though. Like Peter, there will be times, because of our unbelief, where we will start to sink. And yet, even in those times, the Lord does not leave us, does He? He didn't leave Peter. He immediately reached out and grabbed him by the hand. And so too, the Lord keeps us even in our times of weakness. And so no matter how difficult the trial may be, even if the trial will kill you in the end, if you're in Jesus Christ, you can do all things. You can't do it on your own, but if you're in Jesus Christ, you can be content in the worst of times. If you're in Jesus Christ, you can trust instead of fear. If you're in Jesus Christ, you can rejoice instead of despair. J.C. Ryle again says, to walk on the sea himself, speaking of Jesus here, was a mighty miracle. But to enable a poor, weak disciple to do the same was a mightier miracle still. It shows us what great things our Lord can do for those that hear His voice and follow Him. He can enable them to do things which at one time they would have thought impossible. He can carry them through difficulties and trials which without Him they would never have dared to face. He can give them strength to walk through fire and water unharmed, and to get the better of every foe. So we may go through the storms, but the Lord Jesus is the one who enables us to stay afloat. But that enabling grace comes to us as we keep our eyes fixed upon Him. And so this now brings us to our fourth point, where we see we are to stay afloat in the storms of life by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We just saw Jesus is the one who enabled Peter to walk on the water. That is until Peter started to sink because of his unbelief. So what made the difference here? What brought about this change from 1 minute standing on the water and the next minute sinking in the water? Well, the answer is found here in verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, "Lord, save me." When Peter stepped out of the boat, his eyes were fixed upon the Lord. But when Peter turned his gaze down to the wind and the waves around him, he became afraid, and so he began to sink. And so you see, from turning his eyes away from Jesus, that's what made the difference. And so if Peter was to stay afloat in this storm, his eyes must remain fixed upon the Lord. Last spring, my son was involved in a T-ball league. And since then, we've practiced a lot, and he enjoys throwing and hitting and catching. And one of the lessons that he has had to learn is that if he is throwing the ball to me, he can't be looking over at the trees. Right? His eyes need to be looking at me if he wants me to get the ball. And the same thing was true with any sport. Where we're looking determines the direction of the ball. And so it is in these storms. If we are focused and consumed with the circumstances in our lives, whatever they might be, rather than upon Jesus, we will start to sink. We will doubt. We will fear. We will struggle. Now, we won't go down completely, praise God, because the Lord keeps us nonetheless. But the means by which we receive His enabling grace to stay afloat, the means by which we will be enabled to trust in Him and be faithful to Him instead of sin against Him in these trials, is keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And we see this throughout the Scriptures. One example would be Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." We think our storms in life are pretty bad. Imagine Jesus' storms in life. And yet, how did Jesus respond? He endured the hostility from sinners against Himself. He suffered the awful death of the cross, not because He deserved it, but so that we could become the blessed children of God in Him, so that we could be those who, united to Him, could be afloat in the storms of life, could be content instead of fearful, and so forth. And so, brothers and sisters, when the storms are raging in your life, look to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. And one of the ways, one of the greatest ways you can do this is to fill your minds with and meditate upon His person, His works, and His promises. You look to Jesus by filling your minds with and meditating upon His person, His works, and His promises. And you know, as we come to the Lord's Supper this evening, we have a very special opportunity to do just that. Because as we partake of the bread and the cup, we have the person, the work, and the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ displayed for us in visible form. And so when you come to the table this evening, look to Jesus by meditating upon what these elements signify namely Christ's death and all of His saving benefits. And as you eat of these elements, trusting in what they signify, you will be filled by the grace of God with greater ability to stay afloat in the storms that may come your way. And so in the words of commentator James Montgomery Boyce, if you have been sinking in life because of troubles or because you doubt the wisdom and power of God, stop looking at the waves and look to Jesus. He is the Lord of all circumstances, and He will be there to see you through them. And so, brothers and sisters, as you face turbulent storms, frightening storms in this life, stay afloat, not by looking to yourself, not by looking to others, but by keeping your eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved you from your sins. Let's pray and give Him thanks. Our Lord and our God, we confess to You that in these times of trial, we are so weak. We are those who worry and fear and get angry. We ask, Lord, that You would forgive us of our sinful responses. We thank You so much that You are the One who keeps us, that You never slumber nor sleep. You uphold us. You strengthen us. We thank You, Jesus, for the enabling grace that You continue to give to us. And we pray that we would more and more turn and look to You and not to our circumstances. We pray even now as we come to the supper, You would give us Your grace that we might stay afloat all the more, trusting in You. We look to You asking that You would bless us now. And we thank You for it in advance. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.